Lance, Jennifer Keating Hubley, is going to give us an update on 11.1, first quarter financial statement.
So I'll just speak briefly on the high points. And thank you to the CAO for pointing out to me that the total on the budgeted expenses in the financial statement aren't equal to the total budgeted on the finance summary page. During the audit this year, the auditors pointed out the fact that we had the community area rates under the recreation expenditures and the revenue offsetting on the page, and those should be contra on the revenue side. But my formulas, when I revised that on the statement, didn't pick that up, so that's what the discrepancy is there. So I will probably leave the budget going forward in this year as approved, and then just change it for next year's budget and the audited financials at the end of next year. So the taxes billed, you'll see, are slightly higher than budgeted. I was conservative in my estimates on what we may or may not receive for appeals, so that's good. Contracted environmental services, those are up slightly. That's really a timing issue. The landfill usage disposal at the landfill is higher during this time of year than it is during the winter months, so it makes sense that it's a little bit higher than 25% showing. The sponsorship amount on page 4, Queen's Place, that's a little higher. Again, that was a conservative budget, not knowing what we may or may not receive for sponsorships for the concert events. So there were some higher amounts received for sponsorship for our concerts this year. That's good. The reserve transfers, I do my transfer entries within our interfunds quarterly, so those will hit in July. So you'll see those reserve transfers on page 5 will be bumped up on the next statement. Under the expenditures, office supplies is a little higher. We loaded the postage meter for anticipation of mailing out our tax billings. So the postage meter is full, covered the tax billings, and going forward, the postage meter should be fine till the end of the year. Our reduced taxes, so our low income tax exemption, that's always a little bit higher this time of year. It kind of brings it to your attention when you receive your tax bill. And then again in February, there'll be an influx on that line item as well, so that's a little higher. The grants, so on our $175,000 line item under the grants, that's just based on applications received. And of course, we receive the capital applications throughout the year. There's not a deadline process for that piece, so there's still money available for that funding, that new policy. The insurances are not in the expenditures. Our insurer, this being their full second year and new to us last year, their underwriters performed a review of our properties and our basic coverages, which they will do periodically anyway. So I do have the bill. They extended the due date of that from April 1st to July 1st. That has since been paid and coded. I just hadn't had the details regarding the coding for that expenditure, so it wasn't allocated to the various departments yet. But the good news is it did not go up. So we are at $105,000, and I believe that's right about where we were last year as well, which, as you recall, was about $90,000 less than our previous few years had been with the other supplier. The mechanic salary, that looks a little low right now. Remember, we had the second mechanic. We're coding that out to capital. That's been attributed to capital jobs, and we might see that grow a bit as we progress into the year, and then we use them more towards our works department vehicles rather than capital specific vehicles. So the additional salary is being coded to capital projects this year. That's why that looks a little bit low right now, and it'll pick up toward the end of the year. The road levy, we just received the first quarter billing. That's quarterly billing from the province. So the road levy is at zero right now, even though we have gone through a quarter. But we have received the billing that has been since paid. The province was just a little delayed in the first quarter invoicing. The crosswalks and signs, and I know you're all aware that the audible has been installed. That bill has not yet been received. So although it has been installed, it has not been received and coded into that line item yet. However, it is a little bit higher than 25% because we have completed the crosswalk painting, so that bill's been received. So that is in there. The streetlight replacement, which is normally just more or less a placeholder, we don't use that line item a lot, but we did have damage to a streetlight. And so you will see that that line item is slightly higher than budgeted at the moment. If you're looking for it, it's on page 12. It will be fully covered by an insurance because it was damaged by a vehicle and their insurance has fully covered it. So there will be an offset under our sundry revenue for that, but there is a little bit higher expenditure in that line item than we normally would see. Page 15, we've got a little bit higher on the power bill for the Mount Pleasant School that's been taken over by the daycare, because when we were estimating that at budget time, we were unsure of that transfer date. And remember, it had been extended slightly, so the power bill that we were responsible for is a little bit higher than we were anticipating. There's a few of the water expenditures that are over the 25%. Again, that's a timing issue, maintenance work that would be done during the good weather, of course. So the expenditures are a little higher end this time of year, and then we'll peter off a bit as we go through the year. And then all of the debt and interest charges, those are all in there at full. So those look fully spent, and there won't be any more charges, of course, in those line items. So it raises it a little bit now, but it's just the expenditures are fully in for the year. That's it.
Any questions of councilors? Councilor McLeod?
Jennifer, under page 16, under Christmas lighting and wreaths, we have the $12,000 budgeted for that.
We do.
Had there been some consideration for purchasing those types of ornaments that are not the wreaths, you know, that we can use from year to year?
That is why we have that amount in that line item. That is what we're looking at this year, and Jenny will be looking into that. Jenny and Richard Lane will be looking into that. Yes, purchasing.
So they will be installed this year.
Decorative. I don't think we're going to be able to do all of what we would anticipate putting on the poles, of course. We were going to put an amount in that line item this year and then a little bit more in the line item next year, and we would slowly progress to having that ornamentation that we can use year to year to year rather than disposable.
I've seen some simple ones in communities. Either they'll have a candle or they'll have something that might be appropriate.
They're definitely
very,
looking into.
Very, very simple.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you can get anything that is, you don't need them lit or anything, but, well, you could, but.
Fluorescent.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see something on the bridge.
Yep, they're definitely looking into those types of ornamentation Christmas time that can be reused.
Yeah. So there won't be any of the wreaths this year?
I don't know that there won't be any, because I don't believe that there's enough money in that account to fully replace everything. So I don't know if we're looking at a half and half. I don't know what they found for pricing. That would be a question for Jenny and Richard.
Councilor Fancy?
I just want to go to the audibles over at the lights, the black and black put in. I guess I have been happy right from the start with this here thing, because I know I went to our CEO, and it's not his fault. It's when they first put it in, you could hardly hear. And they were saying they're turned up as high as they could be. Now all of a sudden they're up louder and stuff. It's almost like they wanted to just fix it and do it. And I've been talking with Walter, who's over at Walter White, I think it is, over at the Sobeys. They're not set up for. They're still not completely right. There's some things that aren't working quite right. There's other things.
Councilor Fancy, I understand that you have some concerns with the lights. I'm questioning what that has to do with the existing budget presentation.
Well, it can be, because we may have to call them back in to do some more work, which is going to cost us more money. It can be directly affected by.
Perhaps that's why the invoice hasn't been received yet, because they plan to complete to our satisfaction prior to billing.
I think they're saying it.
Well, I don't have an invoice for it yet, so.
Yeah. I'm going to be meeting with Walter tomorrow at 2:30 at Sobeys to go out and take a look at it with the CNIB to be able to. If anybody else wants to come there, they can see it, go too. Because if we want to do it, we want to be able to set it up properly and the cost, you know, so that's what the cost is going to be.
The cost will be what it is, that's right. I have a budgeted amount in there for that installation, so.
Right, okay.
Any follow-up or any?
No, that's just fine.
Any other counselor have a question or comment on the budget? Well, hearing none, I thank you very much, Jennifer. We look to move financial situation.
We are indeed.
Number 12.0, recreation and community facilities, we have nothing to bring forward today. Number 13.0, planning. Under 13.1, we have sale of municipal property, former Riverview School property. If Wendy Connors would like to come forward, development officer. We have a recommendation. Who would like to take the lead on that, Counselor Kane?
Okay, 13.1, I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality enter into a purchase and sale agreement with Barry Falkenham for the sale of properties identified as PID number 7007-1279 and 7007-1287 and located on West Street in Milton for the purchase price of $23,000 plus HFT.
Second to that. Moved by Counselor Mews. Wendy, would you like to give us a quick overview on this?
Sure. So I wasn't totally involved with this, so it was Mike that did it first, but there was a change that came in on Friday to the purchase and sale agreement. It doesn't affect the closing date, so that's still still be August 15th, but I'm not sure if anyone has copies of the purchase and sale agreement, but there was just a change made to the vacant land schedule. There were certain conditions that the buyer was going had to make ensure that they were done before they could before he wanted to go along with it. The date for that was July 19th, which was Friday, and he asked to have that changed to August 1st. So it doesn't affect anything else. It's just to make sure that he gets he has some more questions on what he wants to do on the land first, and he wants to ensure that he can do those before he goes ahead with it. So that was really the only thing.
So that's normal protocol when working with the purchaser. So I'm sure those will all be resolved. We'll proceed. Is there any question, Councilor Deputy Mayor Kelly?
We often talk about this when we're selling property, but are we now in the standard default mode to say that when we sell property and people plan to tell us what they're going to do with it, that they do develop it and use it in what they said they were going to do it within a certain amount of time? Do we include that as standard now in these transactions?
No, we do not. Surplus property, we simply sell it. Person to tell us they're going to put a building on it and never put a building on it. Mm-hmm. Once we sell it, we don't have any authority over them mm-hmm. after that other than zone.
Okay.
So the only time we have typically in the past put provisions on it was for special property where the developer did develop it in a certain way, we want that property back. We
right.
Use it for that purpose, but standard surplus property is just straight safe.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other
counselor? And somebody remind me what was happening to the piece on the water side?
To my knowledge, nothing. It was just, it's because it's not big enough to do anything.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be cleared and a wharf or something. Did I imagine that? Or? I don't have the previous document from it.
I didn't hear that.
Can we, is there any way to ensure that we're protecting the, you know, we just had a conversation with MTRI and you know, that we can protect that rather than them going and clear cut it,
mm-hmm.
and which we see so often in Milton along the waterfront.
Yeah.
So is there any protection from that we can ensure?
Yeah.
I don't know the rules around clear
yeah.
land.
It depends on what they want to do to it.
But if they buy it, then we've lost control over that. that we put in.
Not necessarily. It really, like I said, it really depends on what they, whether, what they intend on doing, whether they intend on clear cutting it or, you know, putting in any fill or anything like that. So it would come down to
but we have an opportunity here to prevent that from happening. So could we not have this part of the motion that in consultation with the Department of Environment, if they proceed with...
It's not only Department of Environment, though, it is zone planning as well.
Whoever.
So, but I've never seen anything put in any...
We seem to have an abundance of these complaints coming up, so if we don't start addressing it, then people are just going to keep clear cutting. Mm.
It may be something that
they've been
wanting.
And then we're gonna be like, oh, went got by us. Nothing you can do about it now. She can't get trees by us. So it'd be nice to be a little progressive on that. But
the lot is very, very narrow. It doesn't lead to a building for its size. One would assume that buying that piece, you would want to thin the bushes a bit so you have better visibility. But the ability to limit what is done there is very, very small, and Nova Scotia Environment would have only the control over the water line ashore. So we have our MPSLUB that controls these issues, and as long as owners are abiding by those, unless we change our municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw,
before
we move forward, well, that's an issue.
Okay, well, I'd just like this to be on record, please.
Yeah.
It's
a good point to raise.
Yeah,
but you know, a couple of years we'll be addressing it. And
okay. Any other counselor would like to comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. And thank you, Wendy, on that item. We have item 13.2, road naming request, Bourgoyne Road, Danesville. A recommendation would like to make please, Councilor Cook.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the renaming of Bourgoyne Road in Danesville to William Croft Road.
Seconded for that? Councilor McLeod? So, Wendy, would you like to give us a bit of background on this report?
Sure. Basically, there was a landowner that lives on Bourgoyne Road, and he did some research on where that came from, and didn't really find any history on it, so he wanted to change it to a name of someone in the community. So our planning technician gave him the requirements for changing a road name. It is a DOT-owned road, but it's still our process to have the petition signed. And they got the required amount of owners along the road. So it can be landowners that aren't even numbered off of Bourgoyne Road as long as they front on Bourgoyne Road. So there was 70% of the owners that were received, and then it goes forward to change the sign.
Any questions or comments of councilors on this? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
On the 14.0 reports, we have 14.1, Carter Speech Advisory Committee, report by Councilor New.
All right, Carter's Beach, one of the nicest beaches in Nova Scotia. We have an average of 75 people a day visiting the beach. On one of the busiest days, it was 480 to 500 people.
Wow.
And that was only from the Carter's Beach Road. They didn't take into account the Burgess Road and down through Cranberry Bog.
Is that families, Kevin, or individuals?
Individuals. That was usually the busiest time was July 1st weekend, and Natal Day weekend is people want to get out of the city and they come to town. Most of the people who are visiting the beach are at least a half hour away. I've been talking to the people that have been letting vehicles park in their yard, and they tell me that most people are showing up 8:30 in the morning and staying right now till 5:30 in eat in. And the restaurants around, like the Seascape and Seaside Taker, are being a lot of business from.
They are.
And the liquor store.
They are.
There was a committee set up about 2.5 years ago. We met about 3 to 4 times a year. It was run by Department of Environment Sally Steele. She is no longer going to be running the committee for the Cardiff Beach. It's going to be run now, if there is any, by Department of Lands and Forestry, Jim Rutterhan and Dustin Malico. Some of the committee consisted of local residents and some summer home residents. Things that was discussed at the meetings and was done was to have the dunes in the area as a protected area. They wanted a beach capacity survey. They wanted the pack in, pack out, which they have. It works, but people don't understand. Like, they're taking everything off the beach, but they're having a problem now. They're throwing them in the porta potties. They're throwing it alongside the road. When they go to get in the car, they just leave it alongside the road. We've been talking to Lands and Forestry, they are now, about the garbage can, and that doesn't really look like we're going to get one there this year, at least. Some of the things they've done, they put up fences around the dunes to keep people out. They put signs on the side of the parking to keep on parking on one side, which has improved greatly. I mean, they couldn't get a fire truck or an ambulance that before. Most of the times, there's been a couple times since this year so far they had to go in and give some tickets. But it only takes one. As soon as one car parks on the wrong side, the rest of the people got to park there. There's two places at least that are letting people park in the yard, and that's taking a lot of, you know, they have 6 or 7 people a day at least.
Charging people?
Yeah. I don't want to say that.
No, that's excellent. It
yep.
should be. Making them
One of the problems in that we, the committee was one of a kind. They, you know, and we understood that the decisions that were made, the minister would say that, you know, they would be done. So the only thing that really that we had voted on was the pack in, pack out. They did that. We voted on having permanent outhouses there. They're still using the porta potties. I'm laying off a bit on those because I thought, listening to Lands and Forestry before, they told me that the outhouses, permanent outhouses, are a lot harder to get garbage into. But talking to the people that pump out the outhouses and the porta potties, they still get the garbage in. It doesn't matter. So it doesn't look like we're going to get the outhouses there this year. It's built. It's up at the Lands and Forestry office back in Milton. It's been there for 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
They need a tank. And I understand it's a lot of work to put a tank in. That's what they're telling us. Some of the things have been going on. They put some ground and people have gone down over the banks, so they put some brush and stumps there so they can't get down over the bank. They made a little knoll of land there and put rose bushes. They planted a lot of eelgrass planting. They had a bunch together. The quarter deck, I've been talking to them, and a lot of people that go to the quarter deck, you know, right on Sunville Beach, they don't want to go to the Cardiff Beach. They have to go there. So we met with Jim Rutterham, mayor and the CAO, and I, last week it was, and you know, it seems like he's just taken over. He's been on the job for 2 months, and he seems like he's pretty good to talk to. I mean, he explained a lot, like, they don't want any more provincial parks. They got enough. You know, when they're worried, like, if they start putting permanent outhouses there and picking up the garbage every day, it's going to be a provincial park.
Anyone have any questions that Councilor Muse on this? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I just don't grasp who owns it. Who owns?
Lands and Forestry.
So the provincial department of lands and forests own the whole beach, everything. So what is this?
I love America.
So what does this nature trust have to do with it?
This protected area. So what they were gonna do, they was gonna like leave a lot of land when they first get down there to give it to the region in case we wanted to put a parking lot. When it's a protected beach, like a lot of people don't understand, people here protected, they think, well, we won't be allowed on the beach. And that's not true. What they worried about was, you know, the dunes and everything else, and keeping the people out of the dunes. It hasn't been as bad as it was before. It's, a lot of people are respectful of that.
So the Department of Lands and Forests own the whole, all the land down there, but they've given authority over managing it to the Nature Trust?
No.
They have nothing to do with it?
No.
I thought the people that owned that land gave it to the Nature Trust. Oh, okay.
It belongs, to my understanding, for information purposes, to the Nova Scotia Department of Lands and Forestry, which is now Natural Resources converted its name, of course. But that's all provincial land, and they control provincial land. There is an interest in the province through Lands and Forestry and the Nova Scotia Department of Environment to look at the land above the high water mark as a nature reserve, which would be a designation that would be managed between Department of Environment and Lands and Forestry. But that doesn't mean that you can't use the beach. That just means you can't go above the beach across the beach.
So, and that's the other thing, like, there's got to be so much land designated as protected areas of natural. So, right now they have 12.6% of the land, and it's supposed to go to 13, and the federal government is saying it's going to go to 18. But it seems like they backed off on doing that out there, and I'm not really sure why. I mean, a lot of people don't understand, you know, they think, well, they're going to have to protect the beach, we won't be allowed on, but that's not.
So is there a provincially mandated protection above the high water mark? I'm trying to understand. They don't want it to be a provincial park, but what is it? What is it designated as within the provincial government?
Just
land.
Well, there's endangered plants, there's endangered birds, there's a unique dune system there. So they can specifically protect various components of that land.
But until
it gets into a nature reserve, it's not a blanket protection.
It's not, but there's currently no designation whatsoever other than it's provincial land owned by the provincial government. So they can basically do whatever they want with it.
Impact to endangered species.
Right, of course, yes. Okay. All right, just really wanted to understand that a little bit.
Councilor Hanson?
Just to kind of bring you up to speed on the other part, but like you look at something like Somerville, right?
Yeah.
Where does that stand there? I mean, like where are we? What's the difference between there and Carter's Beach?
Provincial park.
So that is provincial park. So then that's all governed by. Okay.
Any other councilor? Councilor Crowley?
The reason you're seeing such a upswing on Carter's Beach is because it's on every blog. It's on beaches to must see in Nova Scotia. It's in books. It's everywhere. And that's what people are seeking out. No different than falls in Cape Breton.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to cross that off your list. And people just keep coming back.
I go there twice a week and talk to people. And, you know, and you see people. And then one woman was from Germany. And I said, you know, how did you find this? And she takes out her book. Like, tourism. Two places to see in Nova Scotia. The deck.
Lonely Planet.
Carter's Beach.
It's in Lonely Planet.
Yep.
It's one of the best beaches in Nova Scotia, so we got to do something.
Any other, yes, Councilor McFadden?
Did you say, will your group, the committee, still be active, or what's the situation?
They didn't really say.
Were they effective?
We thought we were. You know, we thought things were going, like, you know, but then, no.
Is it possible that the community themselves could get together and, I mean, it could be a business, as in having a parking area and having a shuttle bus in, those sorts of things? Has that ever really been discussed in all seriousness?
Oh, yeah.
Why hasn't that development been?
Well, because a lot of the committee members didn't want that.
The committee members didn't want that. So they'd rather have congested traffic and a mess in the parking lot. So if there is a lot of the toilets,
the region has nothing to do with those anymore.
But they're not ours anymore. Is there something there?
There's two porta potties.
I haven't been up. There's two porta potties. And who cleans those?
Winchester's.
Under contract by Lance.
Yeah.
But not through us. There's nothing that remains to.
Nothing at all. And that's the other thing. Like, we told them if they put in a permit, their houses, that we do that pumping like once a month or whatever the region would do. And it still didn't get removed.
What's the hold up there?
I'm not really sure. He just more or less said it's a lot more work than what you think to put a tank in the ground. They had a contractor down and looked at it 2 years ago, and it never happened.
Well, but don't they know that once that's in there, then all a lot of their problems will be resolved, with the exception of people that throw garbage and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be.
Oh, I know. We tell them that every time.
And this is the gentleman that you spoke with, his name is?
Jim Ruddingham, but you can't really, like, he's only been on the job for 2 months.
Yes.
And I mean, he has proved a lot of things.
Oh.
We're dealing with him, you know, a lot of things.
Okay.
But give him time and hopefully he'll do.
Yeah. So what's our responsibility there? You're a member on that committee because of council or just because?
I'm like a liaison.
A liaison between us and them. Okay. So is there anything we can do to help you?
Nothing yet. I mean, I don't know, like I said, the committee is even still going to exist. And we asked him, and he doesn't know himself. You know. He's not saying yes, he's not saying no.
Thanks.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you, Councilor Muse, for that update. Under 14.2, we have a traffic assessment of Old Falls Road. Councilor Fancy.
I would again like to defer this recommendation for the results of the petition we received this morning.
A seconder for that? Councilor Kelly? Any discussion? You ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It's unanimous. Thank you. Deferred. Moving on to 14.3, we have a traffic assessment, Main Market Street. Who would like to take the lead on this recommendation?
Oh, sorry.
Main Market Street. Councilor Fancy.
Okay, I was going to let go because it was in other area.
Well, it's going to undo me.
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize the installation of a no left turn into enabled parking adjacent to Folk Law Office. And further, that all shrubbery and trees within the road right of way at the intersection of Main and Market Streets, Liverpool, as determined by the Traffic Authority to be limiting vehicular and pedestrian visibility and safety, be requested to be reduced in size or removed by the municipality. And further, that Queens RCMP be requested to strictly enforce illegal vehicular and pedestrian movement at the Main and Market Street intersection, including dedicated traffic stops during peak usage hours.
Second to that? Councilor Fisk? CAO, would you like to speak to that?
I guess the report's been provided to council last week. And, there were 9 requests or issues to be reviewed. And so each one is itemized with some commentary on them and photos. There is some documentation there that shows pedestrian and vehicular accidents or near misses that have been reported to the RCMP. In the report, as well as some of the motor vehicle regulations, as well as a summary of the report that was done in 2014 by an independent traffic engineering firm, other experts in the area, and the change. changes that were requested in that report have been carried out with the exception of the signage. And the report actually says the signs were removed and reinstalled July 2019. I don't think they're back up yet, but they're in the process of being installed here shortly. So all the, for all intents and purposes, all of the provisions that were in that original traffic report have been changed or are in the process of being changed. And so based on the staff assessment of the different issues that have been requested by council to be addressed, they're all contained within the reports, and I'll do my best to answer any questions that council may have.
Any other questions or comments of councilors on this item? Councilor Fraley?
I'll let you know, I brought this up many times. I don't even really know where to start. I mean, this has been something that, when I started campaigning in 2012, was a concern. And here we are, 2019, and we're still no closer to getting it solved. In fact, we kind of complicated it in a way. I just feel like I don't know what our purpose is if we're listening to the people that are complaining, and we're bringing it time after time after time, and then we have a report that goes against everything that's been brought forward. Then why are we doing this? Because we're clearly not bringing it forward just for something to do. We're bringing it forward because there's tons of people that have reported to us that they've been near hit. They may not go to the RCMP. You know, you make reference to the RCMP that they've only had a few reports. But if you started asking people how many close calls there were, I put it on my counselor page, and you get reams and reams of people that have close calls that aren't calling the RCMP. So we're not bringing this forward just for something to do. It's a very real concern. And you know, in 2014, you had somebody look at it. And in 2019, we're actually changing the signs. So, you know, if you have an independent person come in and they make recommendations, and you don't do it for 3 years later, then I'm not sure why we're bringing these people in. It's kind of mind-boggling. You know, I see the overall performance of the intersection was given an A rating of excellence. I'd be hard pressed to find anybody that would give that an A when people are being hit. I mean, I pick people out of the street myself, and yet this is an excellent sidewalk. And I know there's lots of issues between drivers and pedestrians. You're never going to have 100%. I don't think you're ever going to get an A rating of excellence. I'm not sure why that's in there, but there has to be something done. So what I've just concluded is that we're not going to listen to people, we're not going to do anything, because the price, $27,000, we could have lights in there, and we've come up with every excuse possible why we can't have lights. When you go to any city, any town, and there's traffic lights everywhere. We've got examples of traffic lights that would work, and that, well, I'm not talking traffic lights for traffic, I'm talking about crosswalk signs. So, and I've said before, there's going to be a bad accident there, and 27,000 will seem minuscule to what that family's gonna have to go through. But all of these requests are just only to prove that we don't know what we're asking for. And it's just page after page, you know? And I'm not sure where these came from, like bright in the color of hole in front of Bank of Nova Scotia. I don't know where that one came from. And there's a reason we can't do that, and then it just goes on, page after page of things we can't do. So we don't approach this with, okay, we have a problem here, how can we help it? We approach it, how can we save money? How can we not do what people are asking because they seem to have a problem? So can anyone explain what you're supposed to do in this situation? When somebody comes up to you and asks you, tells you that we have a problem and that they've been hit or their parents have been near hit, their children are near hit, are we supposed to just say we don't have a problem and we can't afford $27,000 for lights?
CAO, would you like to address some of those questions?
Sure. And so the nine items are in there, came from council. Staff didn't dream those up, those came from council at the meeting on, which is itemized in the report the day of the meeting. So that's where the nine issues came from. Staff were not asked to address any other issues other than those nine issues, so the report indicates that no other issues were discussed or reviewed at the particular time. The report is not saying this is what we can't do. The report is saying, based on staff's opinion, these are the recommendations, based on our opinion. There's nothing in here that says we can't afford it. There's nothing in here that says we don't do the other things. We're providing our professional opinion as to what we believe is appropriate based on the requests that come forward, based on the review of the intersection, and based on the previous report, and based on that. And so the public might say it's unsafe, but the public aren't the ones that have to understand the details of it, the technical specs of it. Probably haven't read the original report of what was done, and I can't comment on why the signs weren't moved 5 years ago. That's in the history. So I'm moving forward, and if council wishes, the recommendation is the best advice that council or staff believe they can give. If council wishes to change the motion to install the lights, council wishes to install street lights, if council wishes to paint poles, council can certainly do that. There's nothing in here that says not do it. The recommendation is that we don't believe that's going to improve the safety and it's going to prevent people from being hit or vehicular traffic from not paying attention, from whether texting and driving, whether they're not paying attention to what stop signs are, the pedestrians just walking on the street. I would see it every day when I go to the post office, people walking on the crosswalk, but don't even look.
Yeah.
And so changing, painting poles, putting in flashing lights, those things aren't gonna help anything. That's staff's opinion. And so the recommendations are there. Our staff's recommendations, based on our professional opinion, based on some of the research, based on the regulations, and if council wishes to change it, council can do that. The staff will implement whatever council decides.
So one of the recommendations was to the shrubbery and trees, to remove that or to trim it back. That was planted after we had the first traffic report done in 2014.
That's
so
correct.
Here we are, it was done after we had that report. All of that was changed, and we added planters, and we added big trees in them, and now here we are, 5 years later, and now we have to, we're sitting here still talking about that, and we're taking out stuff that we put in prior to, after we had complaints from people about visibility, and a traffic study done.
And I'm not sure what the complaints are you're getting recently, but the old
study. There's a recommendation.
But the old study said to remove the trees and planters that were blocking view. That was done, the planter was moved back, all that stuff was reconfigured. And so this recommendation is not acknowledging, because staff don't believe the trees, the shrubbery, are any issue there. The trees are all, they're a particular type that there's no shrubbery below it. So if you sit in the parking lot in the truck, in front of the Packets Landing, there's no blocking of people seeing traffic coming and going. So staff don't believe there's any issue. Staff are including it to say the traffic authority is more the expert on that stuff. And so if the traffic authority believes there's something we can do further, staff are open to do that. But there's no recommendation from staff to change anything. We believe it was changed in 2015 and it was done properly.
But everything that we brought forward, all nine things, and this is what you came up with, and you don't even believe it's a problem. And that's a recommendation on here, because that's all we could come up with, was to do that. And RCMP, you know, we sat here in 2014 with the RCMP. I've never once seen, and I would love to know the stats of the number of people they've warned or given tickets to for putting their foot on the crosswalk when there's a car coming, or the other way around. So do you think you can actually enforce this? So that, to me, these are two recommendations that aren't going to go anywhere. You have one that nobody believes is a problem, and one that we can't enforce. And that's what we get out of a report after 8 years of acknowledging from everybody that we have a problem.
And what came forward from staff was the nine suggestions from council. And so if you had to add staff, give a review, we would have consulted with some more independent experts and decided what they want to do. We did one, and council did one in 2014, and that was their opinion. So changes were made to that intersection to help with that. And so if you want to go above and beyond the nine, then we can hire another independent expert who's an expert in traffic control and all the intersection again, and get them to tell us whether the 2014 report was the right way to go, or whether they come back with future recommendations.
I don't want to hire anyone else. We know what we need to do.
And if you know what need to do, then the council should make a motion to do that.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'll make the motion to proceed with the crosswalk lights. With the
can
Councilor Fraley, that would require a notification to the next meeting.
Understand.
And if you so wish to do that, we can incorporate that in the next meeting.
Totally. I'm saying I will proceed with it in the proper form.
And certainly the recommendations that are before you today are items that the staff report identified as being a progressive action. If you like some or none, that will be a decision of councilors when we deliberate on this motion.
I don't believe it's progressive, but thank you.
So I have Councilor Kelly, Deputy Mayor Kelly.
I think that doing anything incremental to that intersection is a waste of time and money and energy. That intersection is busy, and I would say 100% the amount of traffic from the front of the post office, the amount of traffic that goes through that intersection, the amount of people that are walking around there now and into the post office, the amount of people that are now, like, distractions are increasing at that intersection. The distractions of people now sitting in front of the bakery, which is great to see. The people, you know what I mean? You can't do all of these things, remove the distractions, because that's our downtown growing. So we're getting to the point now where it is getting busier in town. It's great. We're seeing all of this new investment. We're seeing all of this hustle and bustle, and it's amazing. And I think that my recommendation would be we need to put a full set of traffic lights and crosswalk lights and everything in that intersection back where it was before. Within maybe that's something for the next budget, to allocate money in the next budget to actually get that done, because that is the only thing that is going to solve everything at that intersection, because it's only going to get busier. And there's nothing that's in the way. It would work fine if everybody paid attention. And even those people that do pay attention, like me, because I have almost hit people there. I have, you know, there really is. You really have to be swiveling all the time. And by the time you stop swiveling to go, there's something else has changed in that intersection. Someone else has walked across. People aren't watching where they're going when they're crossing the crosswalk. People come, it's so close to the doors. People are coming out of the bakery and straight across the road. By the time the car leaves Market Street to go around there, I creep along there wondering whether someone's going to come. They hover around there. You don't know if they're going to cross or not. Then you've got the next crosswalk. You think, phew, and then there's another one. And it is very, very stressful for me to come through that crosswalk, through that intersection, that whole area. So the only thing that's going to solve it is if there's lights there to control people's actions in that intersection. And I would be all in favor of looking at that for next budget and allocating money for that. But at this point in time, there's absolutely nothing that can be done. I mean, one of my recommendations, which you didn't put on the list, which I had mentioned in council that day we had the conversation, was that putting up guardrails along the entrances onto the crosswalks to remind people that they are crossing, or to actually stop them from crossing so fast when they have to actually look at how to maneuver to get either through it, or know that there's a fence there to know that, okay, they're going somewhere where they need to be more cautious, right? But just putting up those fenced areas around, like you see them at all close quartered intersections, to so that people, then they come up to it before they cross, just to remind them that they are going into a high traffic area. So that wasn't there, but I mean, even that, I would say I would forego that or forego anything else to put lights back there, because like I say, it's going to come eventually anyway, because our plan is that we're growing. We are growing, and we will continue to grow, and I believe that that's going to be a necessity at some point going.
Thank you. Any other councilor? Councilor McLeod?
May I ask Chris, where's the $27,000 for? Was that the cost of installing specific traffic lights?
Purchase installation of the flashing crosswalk.
Just
the crosswalk, the crosswalks themselves. On the road.
Okay. Correct, it's in three different intersections. The spec sheet's in your pack.
Yeah, I saw that. Shelburne just had installed over a year or so ago traffic pedestrian beacons, solar powered, at the corner of where Gosby's is, you know, the main. And I just got a price from them this morning, and the invoice was $7,988 for four of them.
Six.
Time for now. No, this is the cost.
That's for four.
That's for four, and the Works Department did the installation.
Yes.
That was their budget. So can we find out?
If council passes a motion to install them, then we will get the price. But this is the company that does it in Canada, so I'm not sure where they got theirs from, or if that's need to be the price for one set.
Well, obviously they wouldn't have one in there. He said they were installed, and that was all four of them.
I can't question what Shelburne's done. I have no idea. So.
Well, I think it's worth looking into, because if that's affordable, and I think they're ones that you walk up and you have to activate them in order to cross.
That would be the normal way that they would.
Yeah.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? Councilor Pinsky?
Yeah, the thing I like about those ones in particular, even if they were 8,000, it was 32,000. That would be the. I'm just saying is that it causes a pause, and that's what we're talking about. People walking out, or people driving out. So somebody has to stop and physically push a button to stop them before they walk out, because then they're going to be illegally walking. I think we're trying to cause what we want to try to do. That's just to make that stop. Because right now people just walk up, because you just walk up, you don't have to do anything. You've got the right of way. But if you have to press the button before the lights flash, before you go out there, I think that can be a great deterrent to stop people. You know, it can still happen. Yes, it can. But if you can cause people to stop, you can cause cars to stop, to look at those lights, then I think we're on the right track myself.
When I was in London, England, every time you went across the street, you looked down. Generally, people looked down. They just had lettering on the road. Look both ways, whatever, before you cross.
You
can paint on the road. Just a thought.
Any other comments, questions of councillors? Councillor Pinsky?
Along with that, if you wanted to look at that, I'm just saying right now, we can't make a new motion, but we can make an amendment to our motion that we have to be able, if we wanted to go forward, to look at that, right? Because that's still the same motion. If you just make an amendment to the motion, it's not a new motion.
It would depend upon your amendment. If your amendment is going to significantly change the recommendation, it would not be an acceptable amendment.
Why not?
Because you can't go off and add endless amounts of information to a motion. You can only alter it slightly. You can't just change it significantly.
You can withdraw a motion.
You can withdraw a motion, yes, you can.
The mover can withdraw.
So let's talk very briefly on the issue.
Okay.
The recommendation in the motion that's on the table at this point in time starts off to support the no left turn into angle parking, which is an illegal turn at the present time.
Okay.
And without that new sign, you can't enforce that illegal left turn. And that is an area of concern, because people are looking for a parking space instead of looking for pedestrians in the crosswalks. The second one is to address any greenery or bushes or trees that may be growing in height to be either removed or trimmed. The third one is to have the RCMP do more enforcement at the intersection. I fail, from my perspective, to see why these would not be acceptable. Are they the solution that council's looking for? I'm hearing today that's not the full solution. But that is what's before you, so you make a decision. Is that part of the solution? And do you support it, or do you oppose it and not vote in favor of it? So that's the issue that we're at right now.
But going along with that is saying that these recommendations come back from looking at the problem that we have. This is where we're coming from. We're not coming from the recommendations. We're coming from the problem that we have. So you're saying these are part of the recommendations. It could be part of the solution. And we're saying, and if we could say, well, we would like to look, as we saw here with this here, we would like to further look into the lights and and that would be part of the recommendation of the question that was asked.
And you could certainly do that as a request in the future to look at street lights, to look at whatever would be an interest that you have. If you are going to agree to support this, these actions would occur now. If you decide that you're going to defer them, then you're deferring the decision. You're not deferring the research that's already been done.
I don't mean to belabor, but isn't that further what we're saying, that, you know, we're supporting those things. Those things are bad, what's coming forward, but along with, we'd like to be able to just walk in, and because this has come into our package along with it, and we'd just like to look. We're not looking at expenditures, it's like coming forward with another part of a report.
I understand exactly where you're going, Councilor Fancy. I would suggest to you that if you're looking at installation of streetlights, that you do it separately from this, because that would be a long process, more so than these would be. But that's a choice of Councilor, and I have Councilor Fraley.
So if we come back with a new motion, are we going to have another report where all the reasons that we can't have traffic lights, including, you know, cause epilepsy and Tourette's and affect autism, like it's, are we going to go through this process again when really what we want are traffic lights? Good traffic lights that work well and a cost, so that we can base our opinion on that, not all the negative reasons why we shouldn't have them.
And I would defer the answer to that question of yours to the CAO, because it's a staff function to provide good advice to council as to where we go in the future.
Mr. Chairman, if council wanted streetlights, council should have said they wanted streetlights at the beginning and not had staff do a report that you don't necessarily like. It would be the same problem with Old Falls Road. The report was the fourth time a report was done at Old Falls Road, and we don't like the recommendation, so now we've got a petition. We had an independent consultant do a report on the Liverpool waterfront that we heard earlier this morning. We don't like what's there as a consultant. Council knows everything that's what should be there, so why do we hire them?
Exactly.
We have to stop asking for reports and stop doing things. If council wants to make a motion because they believe they have the solution, then council should simply make that motion, and staff, as you're asked, are not going to bring back another report against something, because we're not against anything. We're bringing forward our professional advice. If the council believes that they wish to put streetlights there, the council should simply make a motion to put streetlights there. Staff will not recommend streetlights, because if you look at the research and everything else, it will be long delays for people at that intersection, and people will start using old Henry Hensley Drive as a shortcut, and then we'll get complaints about people using Henry Hensley Drive and speeding on it, and that will be the next problem. Then we'll have to put streetlights there. So staff are not going to recommend streetlights, but if council wants to put streetlights in, council should bring forward a recommendation or a motion to put streetlights there.
But staff, clearly, request number 7 was installing flashing lights, and you came back with all the reasons not to have flashing lights. No reasons why, you know, this will solve the problem, this would help out, this would save someone's life. None of that was in there. It's all the reasons why we can't have it.
Because we don't believe it will. We believe it's going to make the intersection more busy, more lights, more stuff going on, and it's going to be more distractions.
But we're the ones that are talking to people on the streets and trying to explain why we haven't done anything in 8 years about this.
I wasn't responsible 8 years ago. I only know what's going on now.
Well,
so
we had a report done in 2014. The goal was, I believe, not to spend any money on lights. So therefore, they didn't come back. They came back with some recommendations, and that was it. It didn't solve the problem.
But council makes a decision, not staff. And so if you don't like the recommendation, you ignore it, defeat it.
Excellent.
Or you make a new recommendation. And so at the end of the day, though, if you do something, staff are going to take the blame for it, and the staff are going to have to come up with the money to fix it. But at the end of the day, council's going to have to approve those things, not staff.
Okay, well, thanks for clarifying.
So I have Councilor Kelly, Deputy Kelly.
So I'm a little confused when you talk about the recommendations. The first one has already been done. The second one has already been done. And the third one has already been done. Where's the, you mentioned a recommendation for increased RCMP presence. I don't see, I'm not reading that as
the
a
last one, number three. Queens RCMP requested to strictly enforce illegal vehicle and pedestrian movements at that main and market intersection. That's their responsibility as RCMP, as hired and employed by the region of Queens, to ensure compliance at that intersection.
The mayor's referring to the recommendations today. I think you're referring, Deputy Mayor, to the recommendations from 2014.
Oh, right.
And those 2014 recommendations were incorporated.
Except for the RCMP.
Okay, I do apologize.
So you have before you a recommendation, and those are the three items that are recommended at the present time. Streetlights are not there. That can be an additional request at a later time.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I mean, if council doesn't think these are going to make a difference, then please don't approve them. And then bring forward some other options if council wishes to do that. And so. Not going to hurt any feelings from staff if you disagree with the recommendations. It's just our professional opinion. But at the end of the day, council is the one that makes the decisions and authorizes the money. And is accountable to the public.
So, are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Those opposed? I have a 5-3 vote. It passes. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is 14-4, Council Implementation Report, and that was circulated to you all. Any questions or comments on those items as were circulated on the 14-4, Council Implementation Report? Council Crill?
I have a question. We painted the stays. It's part of a long process. So we had a motion to have them painted. Does that motion include the maintenance of them, or is that another long process that we need to take?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're referencing. There was a motion that would include money included in the budget to paint them. If there's a motion
originally.
If there's a motion before my time, yeah.
Right. So there was an original motion.
Yeah.
But the motion, I believe, read to paint them. But does that mean that we have to come back and when they're ready to be repainted? And request it again, or is it an ongoing maintenance thing that will be reflected in the budget?
It's ongoing maintenance as long as it's in the budget. So a number of them have been refreshed this year. There's still some that haven't been done. That are still on the list, but a number of them haven't been done this year.
Okay, thank you.
Any other counsel? Hearing none, thank you for your comments on 14-4. That brings us to the 15.0 in camera items. A motion to go in camera would be appropriate. Moved by Councilor McLeod, second by Deputy Mayor Kelly to go in camera. Any discussions? Ready for the motion?
Yeah.
All in favor? So we can end this. Thank you. We are in camera.